Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch, engineering and producing the show. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, the 11th of January, 2021. We enter week number two today of our 11th year on the radio in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice. For trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we take the live feed from KVOI.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Check out their revamped and updated website, now open for e-commerce. Family-run since 1985. Check them out, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Every Monday, we have been doing the same thing as we enter year 11. It's the Monday political face-off. On Monday at noon this week, Bruce Ash is with us, one of our regular commentators, Mr. Ash, who served 16 years as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. He's host of the program Inside Track on KVOI, Saturday afternoon at 1. Jeff Rogers, also one of our regular contributors, well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, how was your weekend?
Well, it was very nice. It was a little cooler than I would have liked it, but I was able to get out, and it was not bright and sunny, and kind of nice days. Get in a little bit of horseback riding.
How about you, Bruce? Good weekend?
It was a dandy weekend. We did the radio show on Saturday afternoon with Frank Antonori, and got a lot of chores done around the house. Helped out at the Mountain Oyster Club, rehang all of the art after our very successful virtual art show concluded earlier last week.
Last Wednesday, of course, was one of the darkest days. Perhaps, well, it's right up there. Who knows? I mean, it's right up there, I'd say, with 9/11 as an angry mob stormed the Capitol and brought police, actually breaking through police lines and occupying America's seat of power for the first time since the War of 1812, but this time instead of foreign troops in the halls of Congress, it was angry Americans trying to overthrow the results of the presidential election. So my question, the first question I have, and this will go to Bruce Ash, our conservative talk show host that we air here on KVOI right before my show, Hugh Hewitt. He says that there's no question that Trump supporters need to own this, and there is no evidence of outside communist agitation being involved. Would you agree with Mr. Hewitt?
I listened to the Hugh Hewitt show today, and I'm not sure I heard him say what you just said exactly.
I will say that this was said the day after the election. On his radio program, that would have been last Thursday, saying that this is a quote, no question, Trump supporters need to own this. He also repeated today the same thing he said the day after his program, and I'm sure if you were listening today, you heard this, that President Trump is done as the leader of the Republican Party.
What Hugh Hewitt said was is that Mitch McConnell is the de facto leader of the Republican Party. So I guess we're saying the same thing. And if Hugh did say those words on Thursday, those were early comments perhaps attributed to him. But I think that he is, like a lot of Americans, are trying to figure out what were the causes of the incident and who was involved in this incident, who the instigators are. I think everybody wants to know and they need to know that.
Again, Bruce, he did say, he was talking about Mitch McConnell has become the de facto leader of the party, but he did say that as far as he's concerned, President Trump is done as the leader of the Republican Party. So I take it
it's It's possible. It's possible that Hugh said that.
However, yeah,
it is possible he said that. But just because Hugh Hewitt says that, doesn't mean that Donald Trump is finished with the Republican Party. His chairman, Ronna McDaniel, was reelected on Friday to another 2-year term. Tommy Hicks, who has been the co-chair for the last 2 years and is very closely aligned with the president and his family, was also reelected for a 2-year term. And if you were to poll the members of the RNC, I don't think that there is a consensus whether or not the president is going to run for another election in 2024. But the committee and tens of millions of Americans are very much in support of the president's America First policies.
All right, let's bring in Jeff Rogers. Jeff?
Well, I sure hope the Republican Party continues to embrace Donald Trump, because I think Donald Trump is done. I think he would have been done even if he hadn't fomented this riot. But I think that it would have taken a little bit longer for them to divorce themselves from him. But because of his angry rhetoric, I think they probably eventually would have done that more gradually, though. Now, I think that because of his incitement of a crowd to basically overthrow the United States government, I think that happened more quickly. And I think that you're going to see a lot more Republicans continue to distance themselves from him. I mean, we're already hearing calls from people, bipartisan people, saying that Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz should be removed from the Senate. There are bar complaints being filed in their various states against them for their activities to try to steal an election. I think that at the bottom of it, the blame lies most directly with Trump. I mean, he basically sold this demonstrably false claim that the election was being stolen from him and that he won in a landslide. He sold that to his supporters. And in doing so, and in inciting that riot directly with his words, Giuliani's words, and Don Jr.'s words, then the moments before this attack on our Capitol, he's completely and fully responsible for his actions. And I think that America will hold him accountable in one way or another. I mean, there are several charges that could be brought against him, including three separate crimes, sedition, advocating the overthrow of the government, and inciting an insurrection. All of those are 18 U.S.C. 2383 through 2385. He's arguably guilty of all three. And I think there are going to be consequences for Donald Trump. And I think there has to be. We can never have something like this ever happen again in America. And, and the people who like Bruce, who, you know, continue to feed this monster support, have some blame, too.
All right. Bruce, are you feeding, as Jeff says, this monster?
Nothing could be further from the truth. The election wasn't stolen illegally. This election, though, was heavily influenced by a lot of very inaccurate information, threats and bad news reporting, probably political polls which were targeted to demoralize Republican voters. It was also influenced by big tech's handle that they have on Twitter and on Facebook. And lastly, it was influenced, I think, a great deal by particularly in the key states where this election came to have consequences. There were changes made in elections, in the policies and the methods of the elections, which did cause perhaps a change in the outcome. Again, nothing illegal, nothing sinister, but there were things, and frankly, and I've said this publicly also, I think the Republican Party, the National Republican Party, as well as state parties, were guilty of dereliction of duty. They're guilty of malfeasance for not aggressively pursuing these claims, which they had to do before the election and failed to do.
All right, we'll pause right here. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers with us on our live lines. They are not here in studio. We are going back here at KVOI, reinstating our no guests in studio rule right now because of the surge in COVID-19. Our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Our Monday Political Face-Off also has great sponsorship from our friends at Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for a great lunch. They open during the week at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast. Mona'sDanishBakery.com, their website. Check it out. You can call ahead or just drop by the bakery. Of course, they have all the proper protocols in place. You can walk in, get your bakery goods, eat outside on the patio. There's some limited indoor dining. Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. We are in the Green Things. Speaking of green things, the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, 50 years. Well, actually, their 50th anniversary was 2020. So now Green Things has now entered their 51st year of supplying wonderful, stunning, amazing plants on their 13 acres at 3384 East River Road. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. And ZocaloVillage.com for all that great, much of it hand-carved furniture and Talavera pottery, green things. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Of course, our Monday political face-off, our home sponsor, our legacy sponsor of the face-off, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, who have been with us all 10 years. And now, as we enter year 11 here on the program, Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowell, and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Jeff Rogers is with us on one of the live lines, Bruce Ash on the other, and let's go now. Jeff, you're up to the plate. What about President Trump's legacy? Do you think this will be overshadowed, what we saw last Wednesday? Will that shadow Republicans for many years, Jeff Rogers?
I think it will. And I think unless the Republican Party is very bold in their rejection of Trump and Trumpism and quit behaving like an organized crime family and a cult and go back to the ideas that served the Republican Party well, some ideas that I disagree with somewhat, but things like limited government, lower taxation, and, you know, it's got to be a party that is not the party of white nationalism, which is sort of what Trump turned it into. And I think the Republican Party has to reject those ideas and embrace the diversity that is America. It's time for them to get on board. And I think that Donald Trump and the Republicans are going to pay a heavy price. And I think Donald Trump's legacy is going to be a legacy of dangerous lies that led to, you know, a virtual rebellion and takeover of our Capitol. And that's not much of a legacy to write down in history books, but I think that's how he'll be best remembered. And I think if we look at everything Trump did and said for the last 5 years, you know, it's no surprise that it came to this ultimate conclusion. No surprise whatsoever. It's the only surprise is that it didn't happen sooner. And I think it's shocking that 139 members of the House of Representatives voted to overturn and steal an election. That was just unbelievably irresponsible. And you've got people like Josh Dawley and Ted Cruz. I mean, these are highly educated people who basically threw away their values, their intelligence, their knowledge, the facts and the law, to basically pander to Trumpism and hope that they could be the beneficiary of it in 2 or 4 years. And I think it's shocking. And you know, the Republican Party will be held accountable. And hopefully Trump is held accountable in the justice system, because that's where he belongs. He belongs behind bars.
All right. Bruce Ash, I know you believe that Donald Trump has done, his presidency has done some very good things. Are you concerned, Bruce, that this will be overshadowed, that history will put this in the first paragraph, what we saw on Wednesday?
Well, they already have, Bill, and they already have. And I think Donald Trump, arguably, when you look at the history of this country, is perhaps the only elected president of the United States whose impeachment was called for even before he had been sworn into office, and subject to the sort of ridicule and attacks that have gone on literally since the time that he and his wife came down the escalator in New York City back in June of 2015. The 139 members of the Congress who voted regarding the certification can't be any different than the Democrats who in 2017, in 2005, and in 2001 took the same action I don't think there was as many votes, but they took the same action to call into question the results of the election. And in fact, in 2017, I'm very familiar with what happened because I was one of those electors, and it was a Democrat-inspired, a leftist-inspired attempt to overturn that election back in 2016. Look, the way that the Democrats are going about what I would call a political kangaroo court to try and jam impeachment down for a second time, it's almost as though you would think that they're giving a message to any conservative that you better not be disruptive to the political system. You better not be looking at change. You better not be looking at putting the welfare of American citizens first before your party. They are trying to make an example of Donald Trump and of Republicans who voted for him in this last election.
All right.
I think, at least it seems to me, gentlemen, that when you try to push this sort of a rhetoric, this sort of tactic, it's going to backfire on Democrats.
All right. Let's see what Jeff Rogers says about is this impeachment effort. Do you think it's necessary one, and will it backfire against Democrats? Perhaps maybe a censure would have been much. Well, I know it would have been easier for everybody to agree on, probably. But what do you think about the impeachment, Jeff Rogers?
Well, let me tell you some of the consequences of impeachment. He will not be able to run for federal office again if he's convicted in the Senate. He will lose the office and staff that are so generously given to ex-presidents. He will lose the pension that he will get, which is rather generous at over $200,000 a year. Not that that's a drop in the bucket for him. And he would lose his paid for taxpayer Secret Service protection. And I'd like to see him lose those things and pay for that stuff himself. And certainly he should never be allowed to run for a federal office again. And that would be the best consequence of impeachment here. And we have to show future generations that there will be consequences for things like this. And when Bruce Ash said something about putting Americans first, Donald Trump has no concept of putting America first or Americans first. Donald Trump is about Donald Trump first, foremost, and only Donald Trump. That is Donald Trump's credo. And we've all known that all along. It's always been all about Donald Trump, and he's, you know, now managed to punish the nation for throwing him out. And I just, you know, to think he ever did anything in the interest of our democracy or in the interest of this country or even his own supporters whom he looks down upon. There are White House staffers who are telling the press that all during the commotion right before the attack on the Capitol, that he was basically embarrassed by his own supporters. I think it's time for us to move on. And I would hope that the Republicans can sort of go back to being, you know, a loyal opposition instead of a party that basically wants to take down America and American values and American democracy, I might add.
Bruce, are you ready to move on without Donald Trump?
Well, Joe Biden is going to be sworn into office here in just about 10 or 11 days, and that's what's going to happen. I think that censure would be a better way to follow the follow-up that Congress can do. And to answer Jeff on the president's ability to run again, I will just remark that Alcee Hastings was impeached as a federal judge, and he is serving and has served in the U.S. House for a number of years after that same. So I'm not so sure that that would be the case. And frankly, the Republican Party doesn't depend upon Donald Trump to run again. It is his policies which were very successful. Almost 15 million more Americans voted for him in this election than the last election. And I would agree to some extent with what was said on Donald Trump's narcissism. Like Obama and like a lot of presidents, Donald Trump says me and I way too much. But the things that were accomplished during this administration, for a conservative. Jeff obviously has a different view of the world than me, and God bless him. He's welcome to that view. But as a adult conservative, I've been waiting for this presidency all of my life because he did the things that he promised. He promised and he delivered for this country. And I think it is only a fear of Donald Trump running again. And like I said, retribution is not the way that we should that the new president should go. I'm hoping that Joe Biden will seek to reconcile and to bring this country together in unity. We need to move on.
All right.
We need to move on and be united.
We are out of time. Jeff Rogers. Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome.
And Bruce, thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity, Bill, and good day, Jeff.
Thank you very much. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Check out the new, they revamped their e-commerce, and they're doing it now in a very, very professional way. There's some beautiful items up there. Their website's moesgallery.com. Coming up next, it's the Better Business Bureau, our monthly scam alert. It's the first of the year, man, the scam are ready to take you to the cleaners. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, a live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Time for our monthly interview segment featuring the monthly scam alert presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. And we welcome on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Pam Krim, CEO of the BBB. Pam, Happy New Year. How's the new year going so far?
Great. Thanks. And I'm sorry that we can't be together in person today, but totally understand we need to be careful.
Yes.
And I wish you Happy New Year and to all of your listeners.
Thank you so much. We did reinstate our policy of no in-studio guests while this COVID is having really peaking, hopefully peaking in Arizona. Are you in your home office with your BBB dog, the cutest?
Peppy.
Yeah, is Peppy there with you?
She is. She keeps me company all day long, right? Keeps me honest.
Yeah, there you go.
It gets me out of the chair to at least take her on a walk or right?
Well, the new year is off to a scam. You'll start. There's a new word for you. Scammers are at it with the new year. They're all excited about the stimulus checks, which I read in USA Today have been going, unfortunately, to, I guess, a lot of wrong bank accounts, but it could be a real mess. But the con artists are really kind of dialing into this, aren't they?
They certainly are, just as we experienced the last time we went through this. And, you know, I spent some time before coming on air with you today. And, you know, the best thing for people to do, because what these folks do is they call up and they want your personal information. They want to confirm who you are and what your Social Security number is and your address. And bam, then they've got everything about you. So the best thing, if you're curious about your stimulus check, is to go to the IRS.gov site. And right on their homepage, there's a link you can go to, and it answers all of your questions. And it does say that they are running behind and they're having some issues on it. But I would really advise, if you get a call from anyone and they start talking about your stimulus check, please hang up and just go to that website and do your inquiries directly with the IRS, because they're the ones that are dispersing the check.
Are the scammers looking at sending emails or text messages saying that we perhaps need more information about your stimulus benefit?
Yeah, they have no boundaries, you know, because, and as we see too, communicating with our members and I'm sure with your clients too, more and more people are wanting to be communicated via text and obviously email. So the scammer's going to go where they think they're going to get the best audience. And they're astute, they're smart, and you have to outsmart them and hang up.
Yeah, they're really fishing. That goes back to that old fishing thing. And they say that, you know, your information is incomplete. And some of them are even saying, I understand, that there needs to be a processing fee to get your stimulus check.
Right. So when anybody uses the word processing fee and they're texting you or emailing you or calling you, that you really need to check into it. Same thing with grants and any other correspondence with the government. Be real careful about that. The best thing to do is to get off the telephone, get on the internet, do your research, and go to the people directly, not through this third-party scammer.
Pam, let's talk about some of the very important things that people can do to avoid these scams and really any scam.
Well, you know, the most important thing is to stay calm, because what they do is they try to incite this sense of urgency, which creates anxiety, and then people make decisions. All of us make probably not the best decisions when we're anxious. So you need to try to stay calm. And again, don't reply directly to them. Go outside and go to the internet or however you want to reach out to the company or government entity directly. Don't communicate with the people that are communicating with you. Just say, well, I'll check into it, and then go to IRS.gov, right? And check in, because, you know, the IRS scams are all going again, as well as the stimulus checks. So that's the most important thing. And always, one of the other things that they do is they create websites or addresses on their emails that look very similar to another organization. So they'll change one word around, or they'll put the word A in front of it, or the, just to make it look like it's truly the organization that you think you're dealing with.
And don't pay any money for what they say is a free government grant for programs.
Right, right. And I only chuckle because, it seems like to us as we talk about it, well, why would you do that? But what they do is they create that anxiety and that sense of urgency on the telephone, and you don't make those good decisions. And we're all susceptible to this.
We really are. And, of course, you got coronavirus still in the full swing of things, the stimulus checks. So the scammers now are looking to kind of, I guess, start full in on the IRS and the tax season.
They certainly are. And, there's some real definite rules you need to think about if you get an email or a text. And can I just walk through them real quickly?
Please do.
First of all, the IRS contacts taxpayers by mail first. They don't call you. They don't text you. They don't email you, right? And the IRS doesn't have pre-recorded messages. So I get them all the time on my phone. I mean, I'm not left out of this, right? So the scammers try to get me, too. I have several that I've recorded and played back for different media entities. And if they're emailing you, they don't initiate contact through email either. So texting, email, that's not how the IRS contacts you the first time. They write you a letter, and you go to your mailbox, and you see that dreaded return address, the U.S. Treasury or the IRS. But that's really, I'm not making light of it. It's a very serious situation. But, they do not, Bill, contact you via text and email. That's the scammers, and they do that really well. That's how they contact you. So that's the best rule to avoid the IRS scams.
The calls just keep coming. I think at our home, we must be getting now 10 calls a day at least. And, we're on every imaginable no-call list. We've gone through all of that. How, Pam Krim, are they getting around this? Could you kind of articulate, why are we still getting so many of these calls?
Well, they change. They change who they are. They change the numbers they're dialing from. So it's like, as my dad would always say, it's like picking up mercury, right, to try to catch these people that do this. And so, it's very difficult. They change their mode of communication. They change and block and mock the phone number they're calling you from. I know, like with my cell phone bill, every time I get a call, about my warranty on my car, because they're very worried about that.
Oh, yeah.
I always go in, and as soon as I get that call, I block it.
Uh-huh.
So it's a terrible task, but you just have to keep doing that. But it's very frustrating because they know ways to get around it, and they find ways. I know like 2 or 3 years ago, they actually did make some arrests for some of the IRS scammers.
Wow.
But then again, they set up shop again very quickly. So it's an ongoing process. And now I know they're in the whole COVID thing. If you want to get your vaccination, now they're calling you or texting you or emailing you about how they need more information before they can get you on the list. And or they need money before they can get you on the list. And really, the BBB, if you go to BBB.org right now, we keep up with these types of issues on scams. And the thing that we say to you, if you get something about COVID, right, either to get the vaccination scheduled, check with your doctor, research it really carefully. And again, ignore those calls that ask for an immediate action and start creating this anxiety.
That's bbb.org/scam-tracker, and there is a wealth of tremendous amount of information up there.
Yes, there is. So we really caution people and we urge people to visit that site, especially right now because this is scam season.
There you go. Pam Krim, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Stay safe, Pam.
You too. Thank you so much.
Pam Krim of the Better Business Bureau with our monthly scam alert here on The Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, Dr. Mark Sykes with his monthly visit from the Planetary Science Institute.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Folks over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, have been a great sponsor through our 10-year run here on the radio. They're just as anxious as we are to be able to comfortably get in the car and go somewhere. Silver City's only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. They'll be ready, hopefully, when the COVID-19 pandemic starts to wind down. Hopefully that day will be coming soon. Their website for your planning purposes, and I hope you'll check it out, visit southwestnewmexico.org. You'll find out there about great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities. Let's welcome now back to the program for his monthly visit, Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and Director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, which has speaking of anniversaries here at the Buckmaster Show, last week we closed out year 10, opening now year 11. Well, for nearly 50 years, the Planetary Science Institute has been a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Mark, how are you?
Just great, Bill. Good to hear you.
How's your new year going so far?
Well, I wish 2020 would come to an end.
In that, what is this? Hey, what is this? 2020, the sequel or something that's going on? This 2020, I thought by now would be an oldie. Not a goodie, but an oldie. You know, we watched a film last night. I've never seen it. It's a sci-fi movie that really a
a lot of people call it a classic, Armageddon, from back in 1998.
Oh, that's with Bruce Willis drilling
into an asteroid. Yeah. And I was thinking about you as I was watching it. First of all, this asteroid that is headed for, you know, Earth is the supposedly the size of Texas. And
and only three telescopes could see it.
Yeah, could only see it. That's what
I don't think so. I think that you would be looking at it with your naked eye going, oh, my God.
Yeah, and this thing about, like, only 17-day warning. I mean, it's crazy. But is that, though, the question actually is pretty serious one. Is that something that could, if you could drill into an asteroid, maybe not the size of Texas, but could you change the trajectory of such an asteroid?
Not in 17 days, even if it was a lot smaller. Now, there's another movie. Oh, gosh, I'm blanking on the name, about an interstellar comet hitting the Earth that is from a science standpoint, much better. And the Armageddon has the surface of the asteroid looks like Superman's Fortress of Solitude. You know, there's a lot of aspects to it that are a little dicey. And I just about had the name, darn. It's on Amazon Prime or Netflix. But that's a case where in terms of we're searching the near-Earth asteroid population for objects that could hit the Earth in order to find them long enough in advance that we could just paint one side white, you know, a little light pressure, you know, sufficiently change the orbit so it misses the Earth when it crosses.
The movie, you're thinking about, I believe, is Deep Impact.
No, well, that was a much better one.
Okay.
Back several years ago. No, this is a new one that just came out.
Oh,
and Deep Impact wasn't bad either. I mean, they took some liberties, but you gotta with a movie. And but today we're actually looking, you know, in the near Earth asteroid population to see if there's things that could hit the Earth, you know, that would be of concern. And and because these things are orbiting the sun like the Earth, you know, in a similar Earth orbit, it's quite likely that if it's of any substantial size, we'll see it many years out.
By the way, the new movie you're talking about is Greenland. It's a disaster thriller set. It was released in August, and it is about the fragments of a passing comet hitting Earth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it's an interstellar, or it's a comet that's either interstellar or from the Oort cloud or something. But it's coming in from a long way away, and so that means that we are not likely to find it many years in advance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would find it, you know, because it's just like coming straight in. You know, months or many months or whatever, maybe a year or something in advance of it impacting. And so even if we completely search the near-Earth asteroids, identify everything that could potentially hit us, the main danger will be from a long-period comet. You know, a comet that just has – it's so far out that we just don't see it now, and we won't see it until it's coming in, and we can't really do much except for – we wouldn't be able to move it out of the way. You know, maybe we can do Edward Teller and throw some nukes at it or something, but there wouldn't be a lot of options.
So it gets back to that whole thing about it's not a question of if, it really is when that some of these things are going to hit us.
That's correct, but the wind might be millions of years off.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, it's not like next week.
Okay.
I should say the surveys to date of the near-Earth asteroid population has substantially reduced the it's not like, I don't want to say that like by looking at it suddenly it's safe. It's like we haven't found anything, and so the probability of something hitting us is lower because there's that much less for us to still explore to see if there anything's in that box.
Mark, I've been hearing about this, some of this mysterious signal or something that's been coming from space. A mysterious radio signal.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It comes, this was a signal that was detected in last fall from the Parker Telescope in Australia, and people were going back through its data and found this signal in there, and it's coming from the direction of Proxima Centauri. Now, Proxima Centauri is the closest star to the Earth. It's only 4.2 light years away. Hmm. And now it's a small red star, about a tenth of the mass of the sun. And it's got several planets that we know about now, including one that's 20% larger than the Earth that's in the Goldilocks zone, or the habitable zone. It's far enough from the star that, but because it's so much smaller and colder, that then you have to be closer to it. And this planet, this Earth-sized planet, orbits it once every 11 days.
Mm.
So there's this signal coming from that direction. And it was at a frequency which doesn't really correspond to any natural processes that we're aware of. And so it was, considered a possible technosignature.
Hmm.
Maybe a signal coming from an alien civilization or something like that. It went away after some period of time. But it was also thought, or maybe a very short period of time, but these kinds of things have been detected in the past and turned out to be terrestrial satellites, that were beaming something. That hasn't been figured out yet, but we know where those things are, so it should be able to be figured out.
And you said this was first detected in 2020. Need I say any more?
Well, yeah, so that just adds to it, right? Fall of 2020, but it would have been fall of 2019 because it was last fall. We're kind of in fall.
Yep.
But now that we're discovering thousands of planets around other stars and a number of objects that are close to Earth size, some of which are in these, quote, habitable zones, which are places where liquid water could exist on the surface, assuming that it has liquid water and atmosphere and all that stuff, then it does raise the question of, well, could there be life out there? Could there be intelligent life out there?
Hmm.
And I'm all in favor.
Yeah,
I think there's so many billions of these things in the galaxy that I think that it's since it happened here, it probably happened in many other places as well.
Mark, I've only got about 40 seconds. China brought back a sample of the moon. Is that right?
They brought back 1.7 kilograms from the Oceanus Procellarum, which is probably the youngest volcanic eruption, Mari eruption, on the surface of the moon, only 1.2 billion years ago.
Mm.
But the samples that the Apollo program brought back is like 3 billion years ago. And so this is going to be very, very useful, both in terms of seeing how things change under the surface of the moon, by comparing these samples, as well as in providing some dating constraint calibration for crater counting statistics, because we can tell, when was the last time this soil was hit, from laboratory measurements, and we can fold that back into how old do we think the surface is based on the various craters that we see all over the place. So this is a very, very useful mission. It was a very successful mission. Congratulations to the Chinese. They did just a spectacular job.
All right. Thank you so much, Mark Sykes. More information at Planetary Science Institute, their website, psi.edu. Thanks, Mark. All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of John Couch, engineer producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon, everybody.